The beaches were empty. The gusts of wind were not mighty enough to ward off the gathering clouds. The overcast sky seemed to melt with the water. Both were gray and steely. Both held the grim omen of the oncoming storm. And there was nothing to be seen for miles. High tide had concealed the little grassy islands from view. The water was devoid of any activity. The lobstermen knew better than to embark into the deep when the energy was brewing, and the current was fierce too. Winter had come and gone, but the chill still clung to our sleepy town. The frost reminded us of that each morning, a warning to any who would celebrate the springtime too soon. And now that there was little spectacle to attract any beachgoers, the shore was left desolate. I didn't mind so much. I liked the silence, a rare occurrence in my experience. I made my way to the shore, only equipped with a notebook and a pencil. My intention was to be alone with my thoughts. Truthfully, it was why I chose that moment to settle on the beach. I placed myself on the shoreline, not too close to the icy water that threatened me with each pulse. The waves' white caps seemed to grow closer and closer, recapitulating their hypnotic phrases to me. But the spell they cast on me was short-lived, broken by a shadow in the corner of my eye. Some figure on the other side of the beach. Without much thought in the matter, I made my way over to her, half out of curiosity and half out of some protective instinct I felt toward her. Once I approached her, I realized the origin of that instinct. We had been best friends since childhood, her and me. I knew her almost as well as I knew myself, both inside and out. Tentatively, I sat down next to her, gently and without sudden movement. I already guessed that she was upset. We knew each other well enough to predict the other's moods. And I knew her well enough to know that she didn't wish to talk, even if talking was what she needed. Her body language and facial expressions were all too familiar to me. We often found ourselves in this situation after some petty misunderstanding. We were never the sort to have explosive arguments. Our disagreements would more typically ferment and ruminate until we could not stand the silence anymore. But this was not like that. She was not upset with me. At least, it didn't appear that way. So, I took the plunge and asked her forthright. To my surprise, she did not evade the question. She bit her lip, anxiously looking down at her clasped hands. She informed me that she was barred from speaking on the matter. For a brief moment, she glanced up at me, meeting my gaze. I expected her to look fearful, given her body language, but she looked guilty. I was a bit ashamed to say that this intrigued the ever-curious side of me, even if it also pulled at my heartstrings. Her big eyes again darted downward, as if she was afraid that I could deduce a story simply from staring into her eyes. Not wanting to upset her further, I replied that she could only tell me what she wished to tell me. I assured her that I never wanted to pass judgment on her. Of course I wouldn't, and I knew implicitly that she wouldn't either. Upon saying that, she again met my eyes. She only told me that she was ill. No mention of how or why, nothing more than that brief report. But I knew well enough to guess that more details were unnecessary. If she had come all this way just to say that, then her fate was sealed, and then there was nothing more to be said, as if any chance of altering the outcome was long since extinguished, and what could I possibly say in return? We sat together in an awkward silence, thoughts of the future swirling through both our heads, only accompanied by the constant pulse of the ocean waves and the sporadic cry of the seagulls. And then she looked up from her clasped hands. She stared at me for what seemed like an eternity, studying my features, examining each tiny crevice and imperfection with such intensity and depth that I immediately had to break eye contact. And then, without any provocation or warning, she kissed me. Not a chaste peck, slow and languid, then transforming into hungry and firm. I was tempted to pull away initially, but I found myself unable to. Something was preventing me from doing the proper thing. Something that was clearly winning against any self-restraint, which was dwindling by the second. I couldn't help but give her exactly what she craved. Suddenly her desires became mine, and the need for her lips overtook me. I found myself devouring her in response, all the while enveloping her in my arms, loath to let her lips or our bodies part. To my surprise, she pulled away first. Her blushing cheeks, already stained crimson, only deepened as her lips parted. I wanted to ask her what she was thinking, but I was almost certain that I already knew. We had never explored such feelings before, though, if I'm being honest, they were always there, forever brewing under the surface of every interaction, every longing gaze and smile. I only regret that it took so long for them to see the light of day. Such thoughts obviously came to her mind as she ended the kiss. She stared at me again. No words were uttered by either of us. As if by some psychic exchange, we came to the unspoken conclusion that we needed each other in that moment. Even if we never spoke of it again, even if nothing came of it, we could not go another second without satiating that urge. Without another moment lost, she began to remove my clothing, whatever clothing was in her reach, that is. Taking this as a sign of approval, I returned the treatment with her clothes. With passing second, our desperation became more primal, clawing at each other's clothes, our lips barely parting, not caring about rips or tears, desperate for just a glimpse of each other. Her hands found their way to my waistcoat, tearing at every button and ripping them from their seams one by one, leaving them to be buried in the sand beneath us. And when we were free of our trappings, we fell silent again. No longer the brazen children we once were, no longer the scrawny, awkward teenagers. For the first time, we were comfortable in our vulnerability. My cock, which had been threatening to burst through my pants, continued to engorge and grow, now that it was free of its confines. And despite the salty sea breeze swirling around us, I could still smell her pussy as it grew wetter. Her eyes drifted down towards my cock, captivated and enthralled, and I couldn't help but suppress a laugh at their widening. She giggled, which I felt thankful for. I didn't want her to think that I was laughing at her expense. At that, any remaining awkwardness between us was gone, and I took her in my arms once more. The taste of her lips and tongue filled my senses, taking the place of any rationality left, and I found the primal urge returning to me. I suspected she felt the same as her hand descended between us, curiously and gently rubbing the head of my cock. She briefly met my eyes, silently asking me if this sort of touch was all right. I gave a simple nod back, and she continued the treatment. Her movements became more vigorous, now stroking my entire length with both hands, making sure to rub the head with each pass. I moaned into her mouth as her strokes became faster. I felt sure that she had never done this before, but somehow she knew the movements. She knew precisely how to draw every reaction out of me. Each moan and whimper was beholden to her. I felt inclined to touch her as well, but she only pushed my hand away, replying that I would get my chance. Taken aback at this, I followed suit and let her continue. She must have sensed my urgency, because after a few more strokes, she stopped and only replied that I had to hold on until I was inside her. I let out an awkward laugh at that. It was the most aggressive she had ever been with me, or with anyone, probably. But she didn't let that stop her. She pushed me down onto the sand and immediately climbed on top of me, straddling my hips and grasping my shoulders to keep her balance. I gave her a knowing nod, silently telling her she could use me as she pleased. Without any more hesitation, she slowly took me inside her, languidly sinking down, inch by inch. When she had finally taken all of me, she smiled like I had never seen her smile before, clearly proud of herself for taking all of my cock in one go. She gave me a knowing smirk as she began to grind herself against me in slow but steady rhythm. She knew how easily she could get a rise out of me. I let her work at her own pace, gently guiding her movements with my hands on her hips. She responded by taking both of my hands and placing them on her breasts. I loved feeling the soft weight of them in each hand. She took great care to position the pads of my fingers on her nipples, silently telling me what she wanted me to do to her. I complied, giving each peak a gentle tug. The cold winds had already made them stiff, but I wanted them even harder, so I took them between my teeth and nipped gently. I wasn't sure if she would enjoy it, but as her moans got higher and higher, I felt sure that I had pleased her again. I continued that treatment on each nipple, licking and dragging my tongue around each peak, soothing the ache that my teeth had caused. At that, her movements became even more frantic. Her back arched even more, pushing her chest against my eager mouth. She continued to take me deeper and harder, if she was daring me to hold back. If that was her objective, then I certainly fell into her trap. I couldn't help but thrust into her, meeting each bounce with a stab of my own. As the movements intensified, so did our moans. We both cried out into the sea breeze, not caring who should hear us in our ecstasy. We had pleased each other to the edge of madness then, and watching the pleasure on her face was more than worth any effort on my part. The moment was beautiful. That is all I can say to describe it. The pace increased further, and neither of us could hold out any longer. She clasped her eyes shut, digging her nails into my shoulders, and cried out again. Her legs began to tremble uncontrollably. No, not just her legs. Her entire body became possessed by violent spasms, which seemed to overtake every inch of her. Her spasm sent me over the edge, and I reached my climax as well, and I felt the wave overtake me, just as she did. Our movements became primal and urgent as the spasms overtook all senses. And once the major tremors had ceased, they were replaced by aftershocks. Even as I recovered, they still took hold of her. I stroked her back as the smaller ripples tore through her, just as the larger ones had mere moments before. I knew it was over when she fell against me, her body limply resting in my encircled arms, still clinging to me. Her face was pressed against my chest, and for a moment, I fear that she was ashamed of what we had just done and was trying to hide it from me. But any dread that I felt was alleviated when she lifted her head once more and kissed me again, softly this time. The urgent intention had dissipated. For this moment at least, the itch had been scratched, and all that we were left with was the aftermath. Neither of us spoke immediately. There was no need to. After a few minutes, I found her lips on mine again. Speaking at barely more than a whisper, she told me that she was expected at home. I nodded and slowly lifted her off me, and we both collected ourselves in silence. Meanwhile, the skies grew darker and more ominous. The pitter-patter of raindrops that began when she approached me had gradually escalated, and then there was no choice but to leave the beach behind. And leave each other behind, too. We both knew it, though neither wanted to acknowledge it. We knew better than to oppose that inevitability, but no more words were spoken on the subject. She kissed me on the cheek as we made our last goodbyes. She left before I did, leaving me alone once more. In that moment, in that place, we found refuge. Us, in our kingdom by the sea. We had found harmony between the two of us, even between the raindrops. But it didn't last. At least, not for me. When she was out of sight, I finished dressing myself and collecting my things. I gave the beach a silent final farewell and made my way home. But I never made it home. Instead, the steady rhythm of the rain continued to beat on my face as I opened my eyes, rubbing them awake. It had been a dream. All of it. Ever since my arrival on the beach earlier that day. I sighed and grunted in frustration, giving myself a silent reprimand for being so foolish as to think it could have been real. To believe otherwise was a fool's errand. I willed it to be her, to be the person who I needed, the person who now, evidently, only ever appeared in my dreams. In earnest this time, I packed up my things and took my leave. As I collected myself for the walk home, the furious winds seemed to object, as they blew without mercy against me. Taking that as a sign, I sprinted away from the water, eager to escape their assault. Determined to finally leave the shore behind, and frigidly cold in the chilly winds, I readjusted my waistcoat, only to find that the buttons were gone, lost and ripped from the seams, just as I had been.